His holiness becomes our holiness. His holiness covers up our sinfulness. That's the positional holiness that I talked to you about last week. And that is the grace of God in a nutshell. We are forgiven of our sins, and we are clothed with His robes of righteousness. I want you to think for a moment about the deal that we're getting from God and what He's getting in return. We're getting His holiness. We're getting His robes of righteousness because of His grace, because we've put our faith in His Son Jesus. And what He gets in return is our sinfulness. But that's what He's designed. That's what He wants to have happen. And once we are in Jesus, then we are to grow in Him. We are to become more like Him. That is the practical holiness that I talked to you about. It's called the sanctification process. I said it in the Sunday school hour to the ones that we were talking about Scripture together. I said, God is not finished with you yet. Amen? And He's not finished with me yet. He gives us the Holy Spirit, and over time, the Spirit has an impact on our life if we submit to Him. I was reading this last week. There are over 90 metaphors that describe the church. Think about that. Over 90 metaphors that describe the church. And as I say that, you might be thinking, oh no, is He going to try and cover every one of them? No. I'm not. But it does remind me that those metaphors that we've looked at already over the last few weeks, and I have a list of those, I think, this is what we've looked at over just the last few weeks, that we are the body of Christ, the kingdom of God, the family of God, the bride of Christ, the light of the world, the temple of God. But that list of six metaphors is not even touching the hem of the garment when you think about the church and how Jesus is describing His church through His holy word. I do want to look at another metaphor today that is used several times in Scripture to describe His church. It fits perfectly with what our kids have gone through this last week with the youth fair. I have a picture of Malia Hogan here and her sheep, Wallen. And if you were at the fair this last week, you may have seen her with her sheep. I think actually she is the only one from our church, if I'm not mistaken, who worked with the sheep. There were several in our church, several kids that were working with pigs and just in a variety of ways with the fair. But this one particular I wanted to show a picture of because the metaphor I'm talking to you about today is the flock of God. Did you know that the church is called the flock of God? Let me read you some verses where this metaphor is seen. The first, and in fact, we're going to look at several verses today. And I hope that at least on the screen you'll follow along with me. If you have your Bibles, that would be even better that you follow along with me in your Bible. Chapter 20 of Acts, beginning with verse 25 through 31. Luke is writing here, "Now behold, I know that all of you among whom I went about preaching the kingdom will no longer see my face." This is Paul actually speaking in this text. He's speaking to the church at Ephesus. He's saying goodbye to them. He says, "Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. Be on guard for yourselves and," here it is, "for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. So twice in this passage of Scripture, Paul refers to the church as the flock of God. 1 Peter chapter 5 is another passage of Scripture, verses 1 through 4. Simon Peter, a bondservant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Oh, I'm reading the wrong passage, aren't I? I'm thinking, where is the flock? Where is the flock? Chapter 5, I was reading from 2 Peter 1, sorry. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd what? The flock of God among you, exercising oversight not under compulsion, but voluntarily according to the will of God and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Let me read to you from John chapter 10, verses 14 through 16. Jesus is speaking. He says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. You and I are the flock of God. And that is not a new concept as we get to the New Testament. This is a concept that is spoken of many times in the Old Testament as the nation of Israel was considered God's flock. Let me read to you four passages of Scripture from the Old Testament, and you will see this concept there as well. Chapter 77 of Psalms. Verse 20, you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. The psalmist is talking to God there. He's saying, you, God, led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Chapter 78 of Psalms, verse 52. But he led forth his own people like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. Isaiah chapter 11 or chapter 40 verse 11. Isaiah 40 verse 11. Like a shepherd he will tend his flock. In his arm he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes. And Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 15. I will feed my flock and I will lead them to rest, declares the Lord God. Now, what can we learn this morning from this term, this metaphor, the flock of God? First, I think we have to look at the shepherd of the flock. And really, that's where we're going to spend the bulk of our time today. As we think about being the flock of God, it's really not about us, but it's about the shepherd. And so we're going to look at the shepherd who is Jesus. Jesus is the good shepherd, and the good shepherd knows the sheep by name. He knows the sheep by name. Shannon, he knows you by name. Stephanie, he knows you by name. And I could go to each person in this room and say that because it's the truth. He knows every single one of us by name. He knows every detail of our lives. He knows what we are thinking. He knows what we are feeling. He knows what our hurts are. He knows what our dreams are. He knows what our needs are, and he wants to help meet those needs. He even knows the number of hairs on the top of your head. And Tom, that's not too hard of a job, you know, for him to know for that about you. And some of you, it would be a different story. But he knows every detail about our life. And someone might be thinking, who am I that Jesus would know me? I'm a nobody. And that is exactly what Satan wants you to think, that you are a nobody, that you don't matter. But to Jesus, you do matter. You are a somebody to the King of this universe, and so am I. We are special to him. And this King of the universe, this good shepherd, wants to have a relationship with his sheep. He wants to have a relationship with you. And the good news, the wonderful news is, our good shepherd loves us enough that he would lay down his life for us. John 10:18 says, no one has taken away my life from me, rather I lay it down on my own initiative. And we could say hallelujah to that. He has paid the price for our sins, and he has made it possible for us to have an intimate relationship with him. He knows us, and we can know him. We can be one with him. John 10:27 was our memory verse for the month of March. It says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. You know, as we have this relationship with the good shepherd, we hear his voice. There are a lot of voices that are calling out to us in this world, but we need to recognize his voice. We need to differentiate his voice from all of the other voices that are calling out to us. And it's his voice that we need to listen to. And he is the one that we need to follow. We seek to obey his voice because he will never lead us astray. And so as we think about being the flock of God, and we're thinking about the good shepherd, he knows us by name. And secondly, the good shepherd leads the sheep. Think about that. He's out in front. He doesn't drive the sheep with a whip. No, he's out in front leading the sheep. And I'm sure you're familiar with that passage from Psalms 23. The good shepherd is leading his sheep to green pastures and to still waters. If he's leading us, we need to make sure that we are following him. If we do our part in following him, he will lead us in the right direction. He will lead us towards green pastures. He will lead us to the still waters. Now, that doesn't mean that the path will always be smooth and easy for us. It won't be. We know that to be true. Sometimes the path can get really, really hard. I want to read to you a piece that I thought was so good. It says, "The story is told of a man who was on a long-haul flight when the voice of the captain came over the speakers, 'Ladies and gentlemen, please fasten your seat belts. I'm asking the flight attendants to be seated, and we're suspending beverage service because we're expecting turbulence ahead.'" You ever been on a plane and gone through this kind of thing where that kind of announcement is made? Maybe you've gone through the storm. We certainly have. I remember what it was like on a plane amidst a terrible storm, and lightning hit the plane and the plane dropped. It had to drop 10, 15 feet in the air. And I mean, everybody on the plane, you could have heard them at that moment, especially the lady right behind me. She never did get a hold of herself. And it wasn't Cindy. Let me read on here, because this story just reminded me so much of that experience that we had. Turbulence is what they got. The pilot, he's saying, "We're going to hit some turbulence." The author said, that's what they got. Within minutes, the plane was trembling, then quaking from the storm. Cracks of thunder could be heard above the roar of the engines. Lightning lit up the darkening skies, and the plane jolted like a cork tossed around on a heavenly ocean. One moment the airplane was lifted on terrific currents of air, the next it dropped as if it were about to crash. The man was as terrified as other passengers. Only one person seemed perfectly calm, a little girl, her feet tucked beneath her as she curled up reading a book amidst the mayhem. Sometimes she closed her eyes as if napping. Gradually, the plane escaped the storm and finally flew peacefully on to its destination. While waiting to disembark, the man couldn't help asking the girl why she had not worried. "My daddy's the pilot," she said. "And he's taken me home. I didn't worry because I knew who was in the cockpit." Amen. We know who's in the cockpit. We know who's at the wheel. Our good shepherd is at the wheel. And sometimes the path isn't easy. And there's mountains to climb, and there's bends to go around, and there's bumps and all kinds of turbulence. But we know who is at the wheel. Our good shepherd is at the wheel, and he is not about to lead us astray. He is with us through the valley of the shadow of death. And we can be fully confident in him even when we're going through the storm. Let me give to you a third point about our good shepherd. He provides for the sheep. Going back to Psalms 23, we see the truth of that. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And I've already mentioned how the good shepherd will lead us to lie down in what kind of pastures? Green pastures. Have you ever seen a sheep that just wasn't thrilled with plush green pastures? And the good shepherd leads the sheep beside the still waters, waters that refresh and replenish the thirsty sheep. Jesus is that good shepherd who will provide for us everything that we need to be content. He provides for us physically. You know, as I've looked around this morning, as people coming in the room, I've not noticed anybody that has come in here without shoes on today or without a shirt on their back. Why is that? It's because God has provided for us. In fact, most of us had a choice between which pair of shoes we were going to wear and which shirt we were going to put on our back. This last Monday in our Bible study group, we were talking about God's power and how He provides for us. And somebody said, you know, all we have to do is look out into the parking lot and we see how God has provided for us. I said, that's right. That's exactly right. But as I've thought about that, it's a reminder to me of how good we have it here. You know, in most of the world, when people are thinking about how God's providing for them, they're thinking about the food on the table, hoping that there's something there for the next meal, and just being thankful even for a grass hut over their head. And in America, we say, you know, we know God's providing for us because let's look out into the parking lot and we see. It's more than what we deserve, for sure. But God is a provider for us. I want to read to you something else from our Monday Bible study book. Don Gleaves, a Gideon worker, was distributing Bibles in the Ukraine in 1994. A local man was driving Don to an area several hours away. Out in the middle of nowhere, their car broke down. The distributor cap had broken apart, and there was no way to reassemble it. As Don and the driver stood on the side of the road praying, a car passed them and pulled over. A man got out, walked back to them, and without saying a word, handed them a distributor cap. It fit perfectly. The man wouldn't take any money. He just turned around and left. Now, there's no explanation for that story other than God Himself being a great provider for His children. And it's the truth. He provides for us physically. How many times has He provided for us exactly what we needed? And so many of us could stand up and give a testimony of that very fact in our life. That He has provided for us in this instance exactly what we needed. That's just the Good Shepherd taking care of His sheep. But you know what? Not only does He provide for us physically, He provides for us spiritually. St. Augustine wrote this, O God, Thou hast made us for Thyself, and our souls are restless, searching till they find their rest in Thee. And that pretty well sums it all up, doesn't it? People are searching for life. They're searching for meaning. They're searching for purpose. And they're searching for fulfillment. And you know, they look here and they look there and they look everywhere. But until they look to Jesus, they will be on a forever search. He is the one who provides what we're really looking for. So He knows us. He leads us as the Good Shepherd. He provides for us. How about this? The Good Shepherd protects the sheep. Do you remember in 1 Samuel when David was trying to convince Saul that he was equipped to go out and fight Goliath? He referenced the fact that he had protected his sheep from the lion and the bear. And that's what good shepherds do. They protect their sheep from predators. Jesus said in John 10, when the wolf comes, what's the hireling do? Boy, he turns around and he runs away, because that's not his sheep. He's just getting paid to take care of them, and when danger comes, he's out of there. But Jesus says the good shepherd protects the sheep. And that's exactly a picture of Jesus. He's running to protect us from the wolf. He protects us from the evil one. I have a verse for the screen here. I want you to read it with me. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. That's a promise. And God's never broke a promise. He's not about to break this one. He's the protector. He's your protector from the evil one. So look to him. Place yourself underneath his care. Make sure that you are in the fold so that you can be protected from the evil one. I have one more point for you about our good shepherd. He rescues his sheep. Maybe you recall the parable that Jesus told in Luke chapter 15. Remember the lost sheep? This sheep wanders off. What does the shepherd do? He leaves the 99 who are not lost to go and search for the one that is lost. And when he finds the sheep, what's he do? He picks the sheep up and he puts it on his shoulders. This is the picture of Isaiah 40. We read it earlier. The shepherd picks up the sheep and holds it to his bosom and gently carries it. This is what the good shepherd does as he rescues us. There's times we wander off. There's times that a sheep will wander off. And when that happens, Jesus, the good shepherd, he does not do this. Well, yeah, so what? It's just one. Tough luck, Johnny. You're missing out. That's not Jesus' attitude. When the sheep wanders off, he leaves the 99 and he goes to look for little lost sheep. And that's exactly what he does. If you wander off, he goes to look for you. He diligently searches for you. And you know what? He'll send preachers your way and youth ministers. And he'll send moms and dads your way. And he will send grandmas who will not stop praying for you. And he will send co-workers your way and teammates and neighbors. He will relentlessly pursue you because he wants to rescue you from being lost. He wants to rescue you from the wolf that only wants to destroy your soul. That's our good shepherd. Amen? Now, what about the flock? You say, you mean that's just half the sermon, Kevin? No. I know we're out of time, so I'll sum it up this way. We are the flock of God. We are loved by the shepherd. We need to listen to his voice. and we need to follow him wherever he leads us, because he will never lead us astray. He will lead us to green pastures and to still waters, and ultimately, he will lead us to heaven. And that's where we want to go. And so if you're not in the flock yet, you need to be. He's waiting, he's calling for you by name to come to him. Let's pray together. God, help us to appreciate and to worship the Good Shepherd, to recognize his voice, to follow him wherever he leads us. And thank you that the fold always has room for one more. And if there's one even here today outside of the fold, we're praying for them to surrender, to answer the call. In Jesus' name, amen.